The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Thursday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. It's happening, man. You good?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
This is, you know, people say, I'm doing great. Thanks for asking. This is, you know, college basketball heads, this is their favorite week of the year, even more so than March Madness, the true college basketball, people will tell you. And this day is the finest of this week. 57 college basketball games on tap for Thursday of conference week, including the ACC quarters, the Atlantic 10 quarters, the Big East quarters, Big 10 feeding into their quarters, Big 12 and Big West with their quarters, Conference USA with their quarterfinals, Metro Atlantic and MEAC, half of their quarters, Mountain West quarters, Pac-12 quarters. What have I left out? SEC feeding into their quarters, SWAC, half of their quarters, and the WAC with all their quarterfinals. It is quite the day of college basketball. So we are loaded with college basketball in the first hour. Matty Cox will join us from Three Man Weave. Todd Wishnev will join us, Kelly. And if you're wondering, hey, besides tennis, what are you betting all day? In-game college basketball, all day long, Todd Wishnev has been murdering it. And he has come on this show to discuss it before. And this falls under the category of, for some, it's going to be the worst segment they hear all day because they're not going to get it. But in truth, it's the single best segment you could possibly hear in a full day of betting talk, because it is the most translatable to actual cash dollars. Now, he will not give away the farm,
okay,
but he will give away enough so that it ought to spark, for those who are really interested in being successful in-game bettors, it'll be enough to spark curiosity and maybe get you going deeper down the rabbit hole.
He's been killing it on in-game, right?
Destroying it.
Yeah.
It's like 9-0 on Sunday. We were like 14-7 yesterday. I mean, just day after day. It's amazing.
Jeez.
Dude is amazing. And by the way, to some who hate on him, don't judge a book by its cover. That's all I got to say. And then Dr. Bob is a maybe. Dr. Bob, biggest day for him college basketball season long. We hope that he gets to us here in about 10 minutes because he's releasing picks and stuff, but we hope to talk to him, get his thoughts on today's games as well. And then Bill Krakenberger, hour number two, unscripted. I would like to start the show, Kelly, if I might, by making fun of myself. Is that allowed? Are we allowed to do that?
Sure.
On the show? Okay. Because as you know, we talk about, hey, look, like the end of the last half of last year, right? We talked about all those futures we hit, right? From Ole Miss to the Braves 17 times, literally 17 times. The Warriors, Iga multiple times. Banchero, the NFL draft, Stingley third, like on and on. I believe it was someone who once said, Kelly, if I'm not mistaken, there's going to be so much winning, you're going to get tired of winning. It's my horrible Trump imitation, by the way. So that's what we're doing. But now, here's what's happened to me futures betting-wise. The last three futures I've bet. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
So Jordan Poole, I don't know if it's the last three, but it's among the last group.
Right, yeah.
Jordan Poole, sixth man of the year.
Yes.
Within 24 hours after I make this wager on Jordan Poole to be sixth man of the year, Steve Kerr, head coach Golden State Warriors, comes out and says, you know what? I'm going to start Jordan Poole from now on. Now, he did change that at some point thereafter, right? But then Curry got hurt. It was a whole thing. Jordan Poole has played 41 basketball games in which he has started. So Jordan Poole is now officially ineligible for sixth man of the year.
Yeah,
you must play more games off the bench than you do starting. So within 24 hours after making that bet, Steve Kerr waited for me to make the bet and was like, let's get this guy. He's going to start. And so that was enough to kill that bet. And then this weekend, I didn't make enough of this, but now, because we didn't really know what the status was on this, but good God, what is going down now with the UCLA Bruins is horrible stuff. Because I made a bet on UCLA to win the national championship on a Saturday and made that bet at 12-1. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I got my UCLA bet in pocket. I'm so excited. Well,
and then
then Jalen Clark goes down with the injury, and it is being called in their last regular season game, or the last one on Saturday against Arizona, and it's being called an Achilles injury. Now, I don't know if we're – did he rupture his Achilles? No one is saying. They're just calling it an Achilles injury, and no one wants to sort of use that word because I guess it triggers people if you use it too early.
Yeah, I'm even just saying lower leg injury.
No, it's Achilles for sure. He is out now for the rest of the season. At first, you know, he was in a boot by the end of that game, and people were like, well, you know, he's going to miss the Pac-12 tournament, but he'll be back for March Madness. Nope, he's done. So we are talking about the Pac-12 Defensive Player of the Year, Kelly. We are talking about a guy who is a national Naismith semifinalist for Defensive Player of the Year nationally, pardon me. Averaged 13 points a game, six assists, I believe it was this year. Or six boards, pardon me, 13-6. And really was the reason that UCLA is number two overall nationally at KenPom on defense. And so now you take him out of the equation. By the way, UCLA is, when you talk about like bench minutes already when he's still playing, they're like close to the bottom of all D1 in terms of bench minutes play. So it's a massive loss for UCLA. Now there's an LA Times article, kind of a Homer article, like they'll still be fine. Whew.
That's a big loss.
Massive blow. Right after I make that bet. Okay. Now you ready for what happened these last couple days? So I mentioned I added to C.J. Stroud the other day, and then I was going around trying to make a basketball bet, and I'm like, should I bet the Warriors to win the West today, or should I bet the Kings to win the Pacific Division? Right? I was walking around. I don't know why that was an either-or for me, but I just had that in my mind that day, 2 days ago. And I decided, as I said on this show, I said, I'm going to bet the Warriors to win the West, not to win it all, to win the West, plus 685. And here's why. Because the Kings play the Knicks, the Suns, and the Bucks in their next three games. So clever me, right, was going to wait for those games to clear, and the Kings were either going to go, I don't know, let's say 1-2 or 0-3, and then I'd get an even better price on the Kings at plus 190. Well, in case you missed it this morning, in case you missed it last night, in warmups of the Suns game last night against the Pelicans, and here we have the video. This is Kevin Durant, normal drill, going to the rack. Whoop! He completely rolls his left ankle. And when I say roll, Kelly, I mean just it bends 90 degrees right there.
Yeah.
Right there. It's a little Cosell in me right there. And Kevin Durant now, according to AZ Central, and this is going around the old Twitter machine this morning and on the internets, on the information superhighway. What other stupid things do we call the internet back in the day?
The weirder part about that video is that he continued to warm up before eventually...
He did.
Before eventually they called it and he wasn't going to play in
Which
the game.
Some people are like, hey, maybe that means he's okay. Well, AZ Central reporting there's concern within the Suns organization that KD has a grade 2 sprain and could miss the remainder of the regular season and potentially the start of the playoffs. Playoffs.
Yeah, I've seen 4 to 6 weeks that floating around, yep.
So remember that plus 190 of the Kings to win the division that I thought was going to be I'll just wait a couple days? Yeah. That immediately shortened and then has been largely off the board this morning.
Yeah, pretty much. I got in a little bit at plus 150 this morning. Mm-hmm. But look, MRI scheduled for today. So really,
we don't know
anything.
We don't know.
Yeah, we don't know anything.
But this could be number 3 in my list of comical futures, played or not played.
That is rough.
Yes.
That is rough.
Yeah. So we'll see. And by the way, now does this mean, even if he can't go, does this mean that the Kings' price to win the Pacific won't incrementally bump up, even if because they still could go 0-3 or 1-2 or whatever the next three games? Yeah, it might happen still, but probably not getting back to plus 190 again.
Yeah, you get a two-game lead. So they get a two-game lead or two-and-a-half-game lead over the Suns. You ran through the schedule. But, look, both of them have tough remaining schedules. They are tough top six and toughest remaining schedules in the NBA for both of them. So nothing in stone, yeah. And obviously, we've got to wait today for the MRI.
Nothing in stone. I'm just trying to make the point. This has been a hilarious sort of run, hilarious in the worst kind of way. And, look, I know it was against the Thunder last night. It is the Oklahoma City Thunder. But Devin Booker dropped 44 on 17 for 23 shooting last night.
Yeah, he good.
He good. The other thing in the NBA, Luka Doncic. Oh, boy. That's not good for the Dallas Mavericks.
Yeah, this one actually could be just as big, if not bigger.
I don't know if it's bigger, but it might be more serious is what you mean.
That's what I mean, yes.
Yes. Luka exits the Mavs loss early last night with a thigh injury. Set for an MRI today. When asked how the thigh felt, Doncic chuckled, "It's not good." Doncic said he would undergo an MRI on Thursday. That was a live shot of him. It's not good, he said. Doncic said he would undergo an MRI today to determine the severity of the injury. He had mentioned soreness in the thigh when speaking to reporters following Saturday's game against the Suns, but said Wednesday that the injury had been lingering for longer than that, and you could see it in his face last night right when it got tweaked.
Yep.
And he says it's not good. Pelicans beat the Mavericks 113-106. So, again, for those who have tickets all throughout the NBA, all of these things could potentially affect in a very large way. All bets subject to injury, Kelly. It's the whole thing.
Yes, they are.
And by the way, real quick, because before we get to the college basketball onslaught here, the Jets appear to be, I mean, as close as possible based on reports to getting Aaron Rodgers. Like, it is just like every bit of wording creeps incrementally closer.
I think you just worded it about as well as possible, though. Is they are the reports from Diana Rossini this morning, last night and into this morning. Jets and Packers remain engaged in conversations about possible trade conversation, but it's how she's making it sound like they are real close, right on the doorstep.
Are they still only -125?
No, those are the odds we went through the other day.
Yeah,
I think they've been off the board though everywhere since we went over them. So this would have been the last remaining bets you could have gotten in.
Jets and Packers remain engaged in conversations about possible trade compensation. Sources telling Diana Rossini at ESPN discussions that had started before the Jets meeting with Rodgers. We'll come back. College basketball. Todd Wishnev will join us to talk in-game. Matty Cox from Three Man Weave. I don't know if Dr. Bob will be here with us or not. It might be. We got a whole bunch of other stuff to talk about, too. NFL draft. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game proudly brought to you by BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. Visit BetMGM.com or download the BetMGM app. Won't take you but a few seconds. Then you sign up. Won't take you but a few minutes. And bang, you're betting all through the state of Nevada. BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. It's Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin here as well. Tennis picks, Kelly. Can we get those in there? Is that allowed as well?
You know what? Why don't we do it at the end of this segment?
Oh, okay.
Because maybe someone forgot to put them in the graphic.
I see.
-186 against Rusevori today.
Are you? Okay, lazy. Well, before you actually speak, we have to introduce you. Yesterday, 2-1 on the tennis plays, including the big dog, Rebecca Peterson, over Marta Kostyuk. We should have gone 3-0, but Katie Swan decided to gack a set point in set number one and 7 set points in set number two. Maybe we wouldn't have gone 3-0, but we would have had a shot at it.
Katie.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is the voice, the uncontrollable voice of Todd Wishnev, co-star. We call you co-star of the star of Showtime's docuseries Action, which has been out for about 4 years now, 3-4 years.
Yeah.
You are the star of that, I would say. I think you're the breakout star of that. Star of the Megapod as well, the Beating the Book Megapod. Todd
clearly
Wishnev,
the star of that.
clearly the star of that. Out of his mom's cork attic, in studio, my tennis dietitian. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well with college basketball.
Yes,
I'm doing poorly with nutrition.
Yeah. That's not going so well, huh?
They've coincided.
Well,
has gone very high up. Yeah. As has the other.
but let me ask you a serious question. If you had to make that deal beforehand, would you have taken it?
Very difficult question, Gilly.
Yeah, that's
very one. Difficult question.
Yeah,
because it has been a glorious college basketball season.
It has been.
It's also been an inglorious college basketball food season.
Yeah, for those who followed your, and this is it is a serious subject. For those who you and Steve Fezzik had a bet. You lost over 100
pounds. I lost 111 pounds in 183 days. That's 6 months. And now I have gained 89 pounds in about 4.5 months.
Oh, Toddy.
It's bad, folks. It's bad. Compulsive eating disorder is bad. I know Steve Fezzik doesn't believe it exists, but however, yeah. He is incorrect.
And this while we're playing tennis every
and the
day.
Drug Ozempic pretty much tells the story that obviously there are some things going on in people's brains that are not the same as other people. Thank you, Stevie.
Okay, that went off the rails a little bit. We're trying to bring you back with guardrails to college basketball, but okay. We only want the best for you, Toddy. Steve does as well. He loves
you. I love Stevie.
He loves you too. All right, let's talk college hoops. Because You really have, and I've been part of this in following your picks. You have been murdering it. You've come on the show before. You barely do anything pre-flop. Once in a while, you'll do some pre-flop college basketball. And I don't know if you heard this. I intro'd your segment, or I teased it last segment by saying, this is either, like, people who are listening to this are either going to, like, it's a wide spectrum. Some people are going to be like, I don't get anything he's saying, and it's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. But what I mean to say is, for those who are really interested in the deep dive, it's actually the smartest segment we can do. You do in-game. What are you willing to, we get requests. The first request is about the formula. However you want to start, however you want to couch this for people. Because this is about pace. This is about fouls. This is about time left in games.
I mean, obviously I can't explain everything that I do in a small radio segment, but I would say in general, the key to look for an in-game college basketball total betting, and I do a lot of totals. I do some, sides as well. Like last night we had Nebraska +4.5. But in general, I'm looking for games that are not being played the way they were supposed to be played. When I say supposed to be played, I mean games that are totaled 125 are supposed to be played at a certain pace. Games that are totaled 155 are supposed to be played at a certain pace. If I can find games that are being played differently because maybe the coaches told the kids that in the 125 game, they're like, look, I know we're a slow team, but we're not going to be able to score if we go slow today. We're going to have to run a little bit. That's going to change the outlook on the game. Conversely, you know, a game with a very high, you know, number, the coaches may be saying to them, hey, listen, we don't want to run with this team because, you know, they're better running than us. Maybe we need to slow it down. Something is happening that is changing the way the game was projected to be played versus how it is being played. And that's what I'm always looking to target.
Okay. And we get this, and I want to sort of do as a backdrop because we got a tweet. This is a great one from Hockey Skeptic, and this deserves to be sort of stated as sort of the backdrop of all this. The reason you're able to do this, because he says something interesting to bring up with Todd, and we brought this up before. He said, though you've talked about it before, a pre-flop line takes money and moves. Now that it's the new line, now there's a new line, the home base, bookmakers cannot really do that mid-game. They don't have the infrastructure to adjust the base as efficiently and as quickly.
Especially in in-game. Sometimes in second halves, they will be able to adjust a little bit. But they can't adjust at the, let's say, for instance, the 12-minute TV timeout, 8 minutes into the game, 20% of the game has been played. Mm-hmm. They can, if the game was lined, you know, 125, like it's supposed to be a very slow game, but the teams are running like crazy the first 20% of the game, they still have to use the algorithm to do the rest of the line. So, for instance, if 15 points have been scored when really, you know, I'm sorry, if 25 points have been scored when really only 15 points should have been scored up to a particular point, they're just going to move everything up 10 points because it's gone 10 points more than what was originally scheduled. They're not going to say, oh, by the way, this is going to continue as well and make an even bigger adjustment. So, for example, let's use real numbers. in a slow game, at the 8-minute mark, you should have around 24 points. 8 minutes into the game, you should have about 24 points, which is about 3 points a minute in a very slow game. But instead, let's say you have 34 points. Well, the new line is not going to be 125. It's going to be closer to 135. However, that doesn't really take into account. Maybe there is something stylistically about the game that has changed, and really the number shouldn't be 10 points higher. It should be 15 points higher because the 10 points is already in there already. It's in the bank because mm-hmm. they're 10 points ahead of their pace, right?
Yeah.
They should have been at 24. They're at 34. So it should be already 135. But if the teams are now playing at a faster pace than it was originally supposed to be played at, then it shouldn't be 135. It should be 140. But that's what he's talking about. They can't make that change off the original number enough.
That allows you to do what you do.
There are edges.
Yes, fundamentally. All right, I want you to bookmark this. Before you bookmark this, though, because I want to get to your – there is something you can allow – that people can latch on to. We can do the little formula at halftime if we're allowed to do that.
Sure.
But first, let's get an injection of Dr. Bob because he's got some plays he wants to give. Just a couple here because he's got to take his kids to school, so we want to get just a few minutes of Dr. Bob. It's Bob Stoll. How you doing, Bob?
Doing all right, Gil. I just released like 25 plays. It just took a while, so.
All right.
Well, we got to squeeze me in.
We got you for 3 minutes. Thank you for doing it. Can you give us a couple of those, or the ones you want to?
Yeah,
anyway,
I'll see what qualifies. I'll go down my list and see what qualifies. Kent State and Mac. They're minus what now? Minus 13 now, and they're good up to minus 14. Number one seed in a one-bid conference usually does pretty well in these opening games. They lost to Northern Illinois in the only meeting this season, so they also have single revenge. Single revenge favorites tend to be pretty good in the conference tournaments as well, plus there's some line value here. Northern Illinois' best player, Williams, has been out for a while. They played pretty well, actually, without him. Part of that is random, but I like Kent State up to minus 14.
Kent State up to minus 14 against Northern Illinois.
Kent State, yes. Another one is, let me just see what qualifies here. Miami, Florida, minus 7 in the early game in the ACC. Good situation here against Wake Forest team that played a close game last night. And now it's the early game the next day. That's a tough spot for Wake Forest. And I like Miami of Florida for some value and some situational stuff that favors them up to minus 7. And the line is minus 7.
All right, ACC quarter, which begins in about an hour and a half. Full day basketball. What else you got here?
That is correct. Let's keep with the 9 a.m. games. Actually, this one still qualifies. Marquette, similar situation. St. John's played yesterday. They get a fresh Marquette team who continues to be underrated. They continue to outperform expectations. They were minus 8. Now they're minus 8.5, and I like Marquette up to minus 9, a pretty strong situation favoring Marquette here. So, and a little bit of line value. So Marquette up to minus 9, and right now it's minus 8.5.
Two teams that just played a classic, one might call it the other day, just an awesome basketball game. And then we got 30 seconds, Bob. One more here real quick. A quartet?
Yeah, let me see. I'm trying to see what else qualifies here. This one might qualify still. Mississippi State, the 10 a.m. game, the early game in the SEC. Mississippi State needs a win here. Florida is without their best player. I don't think it's in the line a little bit, but not quite enough. And I like Mississippi State up to minus 5, and that line is mostly minus 5 right now.
Yeah, we're seeing minus 5 SEC quarter. That's at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. Bob, appreciate it very much. Thanks for the instant offense.
All right, buddy. Good luck.
Dr. Bob, everybody, at Dr. Bob Sports on Twitter, drbobsports.com. Who arguably his busiest day, I mean, besides, every Saturday in college basketball, but certainly for tournament season, the busiest day of tournament season today. More with Todd Wishnev on in-game, including a formula at halftime that can help you with all your in-game bets and also your halftime wagers. It's next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get everything you need to bet the madness this year for only $19. Whether you're filling out a bracket or betting against the spread, our team is here to get you ready for every game and every round of the tournament. Only VSiN Pro subscribers get unlimited access to our daily best bets, tools like our exclusive betting splits, plus our Big Dance Bracket and betting guides. These guides feature in-depth breakdowns of all 68 teams, Cinderella selections, bracket predictions, and picks on every tournament game from VSiN experts like Brent Musburger and Greg Hoops Peterson. Sign up today to get the betting guides plus full access to VSiN through the end of the tournament for only $19 at VSiN.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander. It's a numbers game. Kelly Bidlin here. Todd Wishnev here. Kelly, how about that microwave instant offense from Dr. Bob as opposed to the soliloquy version of Dr. Bob? You like that?
I kind of like mixing it up a bit. Bam, bam, bam. There you go. Here's some bets.
He's got to take his kids to school right at the bottom of the hour at 7:30. So maybe we should just like jam it right as close to that as possible. And he's like, all right, here are my picks. Bang, bang, bang.
Yeah, I mean, something in between would be nice. Yeah. But yeah, Bob can give a very detailed answer that sometimes.
He's very thorough is what he is.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's see. Scotty B726, we get tweets. I got to pick up the grandkids. What time will the tennis picks be on betting resources? Thanks. Well, we'll put them on the picks page, but we could throw them out here right now again. Had a great run on this show here in recent times. Adrian Manarino. I got two on the men's side today. I got one on the ladies' side. Yesterday,
screwed up spelling again, didn't I? Jesus.
You might have. Yeah, you might have. Adrian Manarino, minus 104. Again, these were made last night, so I'm going to see what these numbers are right at this moment. But he's taken on Dominic Thiem. Dominic Thiem won a slam a few years back, the tournament where Djokovic, the U.S. Open, where Djokovic hit the side judge with a tennis ball and got ejected from the tournament. He ended up beating Sasha Zverev in that final. So he hasn't been playing as well. There was a moment where it looked like he's coming back playing well, but he really hasn't been. Taking Adrian Mannarino at -104 against Dominic Thiem. Jan Lennard Struff, I got at -137. He's about -144 right now. I wouldn't let it get too much higher than that. In fact, I wouldn't go higher than -145 for Struff. He's taking on Quentin Halas. And then on the ladies' side, we do have one dog today, one underdog. It is Kimberly Burrell at a plus price. And she is right at +112, same number I got it at last night against Sorana Cerceda. So those are your three tennis plays, Mannarino, Struff, and Burrell.
And Wishnev over Gilly in tennis, -10,000. Thank me later.
Wishnev over Gilly a little later on. Although, can I just say, 21-16 a couple times. It's getting close.
He got 16 points.
It's getting close.
I didn't make any spelling mistakes.
You didn't. You were right. Yeah, you're good on all of them.
The Jan thing threw me off.
Jan Lennard Struff. This is from Corbin. Morning, guys. Absolutely amazing day of college basketball. I know you guys won't be able to play the clip of Van Vliet going off on the refs last night. Perfectly sums up how everyone has felt the last few years. Glad he did it. Money well spent. We will play that, actually. We will play that. We don't have to play it now, but we'll play it momentarily here. Phil Weiss, can't wait for Toddy. Why anyone would disparage him for giving out free insights is beyond me. I'm looking forward to it. And I've been in this racket for 40 years. Absolutely.
Because that's what people do. They're disparagers.
They're disparagers. All right, let's go to this one here, because this is a direct question. And this is what I was getting at earlier here, Toddy. This is from Wilkman. Please bring up your second half totals formula. What he's referring to is, I think, something that is available.
It's not second half.
It's just the formula.
KenPom.com has a lot of resources on this about the pace and how many possessions in a game. There's approximately 68 possessions in an average college basketball team's games. Now, some teams are going to average 74. Some teams are going to average 61. But the average is about 68. 32 in the first half, about 36 in the second half. And that's why the lines are going to be lower in first half totals and second half totals, because they have to take into account the fouls at the end of the game. So, for instance, if you have a 140 totaled game, it's not 70 first half, 70 second half. It's more like 66 first half, 74 second half. And then the possessions would obviously follow the similar thing. It's not 34 possessions first half, 34 possessions second half. It's like 32 and 36 on average, obviously.
Okay, so you have a bit of a formula that you can shorthand. For
people. I mean, the formula, it's on Ken Palm. I didn't come up with this. It's just shots attempted. So, for instance, if a team's like at halftime, they're 15 for 32. That's 32 possessions were a shot, right? A field goal attempt, right? And let's say they have 8 free throws. You take 0.475. I just rounded off to half, 0.5. You take half of 8 free throws is 4 more. So in my example, how many did I say field goal attempts? 30. What did I give an example? 32,
I believe.
32. And then with 8 free throws, that's 4 more. Now that's 36 possessions. Then you add the turnovers and subtract the offensive rebounds. So for instance, if it were 6 turnovers, 5 offensive rebounds, that would be add 6, subtract 5. So add 1 to your total, and you have a total of 37.
Okay.
So in this example, it would be 32, 4, 6, and then subtract 5.
This is a great question, because this is exactly where one should follow up with this. This is from Nash, last name Nash. Does Todd put in these bets during TV timeouts or during game action, maybe during a free throw as an example?
I try to almost always do it at commercials, because what happens is I get spun to death. And then, like, if I do it in live betting, certain books will kind of take shots at you. Mm-hmm. And let's say you have the over. You try to bet the over, right? You put the over in. It starts spinning on you. And, like, 30 seconds later, you get the bet. Well, you know you're going to watch the TV and you're going to see a bunch of clanked shots, because that's why they took the bet.
Yep.
And vice versa, they might reject it because the 2 3-pointers were hit right away. So I try to avoid that by doing everything at commercials.
There's a pillar. I'm sorry, Kelly. Go ahead.
No, I was going to ask Todd, because Todd's been in Pennsylvania betting as well, right? So you've had the access to those books as well as the Vegas books. You're familiar with both. So I want to move that question a little bit further because I think it's great. You and I always talk about, Gil, about betting during those commercial breaks, live betting during those commercial breaks. Some of the technology is a little bit faster on the East Coast. Todd, would you still say always commercial breaks, or if you have access to a DraftKings and some of those sites, it's a little bit more doable?
There's not, you can't just blanket say any one site because they're all different, you know, Kelly. So there are some that you're going to get less of this kind of nonsense and the spin is shorter, and there's others where the spin is longer. But by the way, another thing to keep in mind about commercials is when you're at the commercial, you're already 30 seconds into the commercial, folks.
Right.
So if a commercial is 2 minutes, you only have a minute and a half left.
You
got
to move that along,
And if you're in the last 30 seconds of the commercial, you actually might be in game time already.
Well, here's all the things that can be observed. One, there's like a pillar of offshore that will spin you to death. But all of a sudden, every once in a while, you'll see that the bets will go in really quickly. You're like, oh, I'm losing. This is a losing wager. Like, I should not have done it. Because they're ahead. They know what's about to happen, right? And you've done it too late. The other thing is here, we experience in Las Vegas, again, book-to-book, different thing. Sometimes during the commercials, this is dirty, they'll take it off.
Yeah.
So that you can't have an even playing field. And then here's the third thing. It also varies by the amount you're betting. If you're betting let's say you're betting $200 versus $1,000, right? $200 versus a dime. If you're betting $200, they'll probably just take the bet because they're like, okay, we'll grab that. But if you're betting a dime, you'll get spun to death.
Yes, and I can verify this because there's guys that sit with me in the sports book, and I'll say over 67.5 first half, and they'll bet, you know, whatever they're betting, and they get it, and then I'm sitting there waiting, and it's really aggravating.
Okay, but here's the general point I want to make about all this. Can you say that you believe, because we have static programming as all media is, we have to be on air at a certain time, so they're not games on while we're on, so we're not talking about in-game. We're talking about stuff in a pre-flop nature. It's just the nature of how we have to do it before the game start. Has your in-game been so successful that, like, the notion of pre-flop betting ever, and you do make rare exceptions, because sometimes you're like, well, that's just dumb to begin with, but, like, it's so uninteresting to you and such a, compared to what you can do in game wise, it's just, why bother? Is that kind of your attitude at this point?
Yeah. I mean, but that's been my attitude for the last many years.
Yeah.
You know, why?
But honed now, I think, almost sharper than ever.
Yeah. But I mean, even 4 years ago, I wasn't really betting too many.
But it wasn't available as widespread 4 years ago either.
I mean, it was
we forget how recent all of this development is.
Yeah, I mean, some of it wasn't available, some was, but I was very quick to get an in-game in a lot of sports, but college football, pro football, I just like in-game better because it's free information.
Yeah.
If you're betting 30% of the way into the game, that's information that has not been assimilated into the line because they have to use the algorithm of the pregame line.
Let's put it this way. Successful pre-flop bettors are always going to be a much smaller percentage than successful in-game bettors can be if they apply themselves.
Yeah, I mean, you have to watch a million games and really understand what's going on and how the in-game lines move, and there's a million things. Like, I did some in-game baseball in Pennsylvania where they had team totals available in baseball the first year, and I got my tuchus handed to me because I didn't really understand the numbers well enough of what a team should be. But once you watch it long enough and you watch the lines long, that's what's really important. You have to watch the lines while you're watching the games long enough so that you understand where things should be.
All right, stick around. Matty Cox is going to join us momentarily. Give some pre-flop picks that he's got today. We'll stick around with Todd Wishnev as well. College hoops, followed by the crack man, Bill Krakenberger. What a day of college basketball right here at VC.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Even a wager that misses could still be a slam dunk with BetMGM, an authorized gaming partner of the NBA. Place an NBA one-game parlay wager with four legs or more, and if you miss one leg, you'll receive up to $25 back. Just opt into this promotion on BetMGM's app or website. With one-game parlay, you can make selections within a single NBA game, including team and player props. Opt into the promotion, then place a one-game or an NBA one-game parlay wager, four legs or more, and you'll get up to $25 back if you miss one leg. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotion offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, Nevada, or New York. Skill Alexander, Todd Wishnev continues to hang with us in studio. But let's get some more instant offense from three-man weaves, Matty Cox, before we get back to Toddy. Matt, busy day for you and the crew. 57 college basketball games. How you doing, man?
Doing great. Great to see Todd there in studio as well. That's the OG squad that I miss so much. So yeah. Happy conference tournament champ week to both of you.
Todd, yeah, to you too. Todd, it was floated behind us. Hey, is Todd's mic going to be muted? And what did you say, Todd?
If I'm muted, I'm walking off the show. You can't mute the star of the show's mic. What's wrong with you people?
I will not be muted. It's like Glenn Close in Fatal Attraction.
Well, good. We had a plan.
There we go. All right, Matt, what do you like today? What leaps off the page for you?
I'm riding this Duke mojo. I've been saying the Devils have been a buy low in the market for a few weeks now, and I think I've seen enough evidence to really dial it all the way up. It's been bet up to six. I still think there's value at six. I really do. There's been, you know, historical data that kind of shows these teams with the day rest, catching, you know, a team that played a fairly competitive close game the day before. You know, the edge goes to the favorite in that situation. It's an earlier tip, which doesn't give me, you know, the strongest conviction to lay the favorite. We've seen some of these lower, you know, these early tip times kind of drag into the mud with scoring, which is never good for the favorite. But I think Duke takes it. Takes Pitt to the woodshed. I really do.
Is Matty really going against the Pitt Panthers in that?
Yeah,
we're having the best college basketball season of our entire, like, many, many years since we used to be a powerhouse. And now yins are going against us. What are yins crazy?
Shots
we're playing
fired.
Great. I don't think you're really thinking this through, Matty. I'll tell you.
He's a
yinser.
First
half full game, Todd. I'm sorry. I got to do it. I think Duke continues to roll.
All right.
Look at the over in that game, by the way. Pitt is like an over machine, folks. They're an over machine.
Yeah. You might even preflop the over?
No. But
no.
I'm,
okay.
Just by the way, you still have to know which teams are going to do which.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like you can know nothing. But go ahead. I'll let you talk to Matt.
Thank you. Sorry about that, Matt. Little yinzer injection from the Megapod. All right, what else you got?
I took Nevada out there in the Mountain West. They kick off against San Jose State. Mid-afternoon tip in your guys' neck of the woods. Lane five, and San Jose State's just been against the spread darling all year, much like Pitt. So maybe I'm kind of picking off, you know, I'm picking on the same theme here, where a team that's somewhat overachieved, I think, is more likely to play back to their preseason, you know, projected form, so to speak. San Jose State falls in that boat, who I'm fading with Nevada. I think Pitt falls in that boat, who I'm fading with Duke. And just a big, big spot for Nevada. I think they need to get big wins to kind of build their, you know, solidify their at-large resume. Hate fading Timmy Miles. It's been a losing strategy as a betting investor over many, many years, but I think this is a good spot to do it today.
Okay, and one more, Matt, and I want to ask you a March Madness question after this. What do you got?
I'm going to cover my eyes and take Tulsa. They're getting 16 against Wichita State. I know Dr. Bob Stoll has talked about some of these technical situational angles, you know, one of which I don't have the exact parameters, but basically, betting really, really, really bad teams is usually a decent look here. Tulsa is absolutely in that camp. They are, I believe, one conference game, complete catastrophe all season. Wichita State is awesome at playing up to competition, but they can also play down to their competition as well. Not always the most in sync offensively. They can go through scoring droughts. Should play well for the dog here, so I like Tulsa to stay inside that big, big number.
Okay, real quick before we let you go then, the standard two questions. Give me a team that you feel will be in the NCAA tournament that has the giant killer characteristics that could either pull off one or even two upsets, and then conversely, one of the bigger ones, and I guess UCLA might be a pat answer now with a big injury, but one of the bigger names that you think is susceptible to carnage.
I think Virginia, right? I don't mean to pick on Virginia. We've seen them lose in big. Obviously, the 16-1 game comes to mind. We saw them lose to Ohio, although that was kind of a tough COVID spot. I think this Virginia team still has that overly slow, methodically paced that makes you susceptible to giant killer, you know, contestants. And they just don't. I don't think they're that good. I think they're still overvalued. Considered a 4 seed right now, I think they're more like a 7 seed if you're doing a true power ranking S curve. My mid-major, though, is FAU. I think they're all the way legit. They're going to probably get an 8 or 9 seed, depending on how they do in the Frisco Disco Conference USA tournament. Saw them play up coast and personal in Boca Raton. They have no weakness. They have a legit big guy in Vlad Golden, who's from Texas Tech. He can combat all the big boys up front, frontline guys, and their guards are awesome. Can space hit, drive, kick, shoot. A bunch of dudes that just stayed around for their fourth, fifth year despite a bunch of injuries. It's rare to see that type of, like, DNA roster in today's, you know, fluid roster era of college basketball. But FAU's got that mojo going right now. I'm all the way in on my Owls.
All right. Matt, I asked Jim this question. NIT has not been said, obviously, but is there a team? And he said his answer was Villanova, I believe. What's a team that could that will be in the NIT, but will have the motivation to win it?
I kind of like UAB. You know, they could make a deep run in Conference USA and maybe sneak in. I think they're destined for NIT. This team's awesome. They didn't have Jelly Walker for a good chunk of you know, the latter part of the conference play. He's really changed their entire outlook. I think that's a team that is still looking to prove itself as a program under Andy Kennedy in the early stages of his, what he probably hopes is a long, illustrious tenure. I think they look at that and they take that seriously, right? Motivational is always a huge part here. I think UAB, with the way they play, and I'm inclined to believe that they're going to be locked in for that tournament. So UAB, I think, could be a dangerous NIT team if that's where they land.
Matt, we appreciate it. Enjoy the day. What a great day of college basketball. Appreciate it on short notice, man.
Many days to come, of course. Take care, boys.
Many days to come. Matty Cox, everybody, at Matty underscore Cox, Matty with a Y, 3MW underscore CBB for all of three-man Weaves picks. Todd, I want to get back to you, the star of the show, one more thing. So we're talking about college basketball doing in-game. You do this for college football as well, right?
Oh, I love it, college football.
What do you like one better than the other? Is one more profitable than the other? Because, again, for those who miss it, like, you have been destroying it in college basketball.
There are more college basketball games than there are college football games, but college football is great too. Now, it's a whole different discipline. You have to understand, you know, the stats of that game, yards per play and stuff like that. But, you know, there's a lot of similarities.
A lot of similarities. I've said college in-game is great for college football because college football is the game that reveals itself the quickest. These two teams, like, one team is going to destroy the other, or these two teams can't stop each other, that kind of thing. College football and college basketball, though, college football definitely has a moment where the foot will come off the pedal sometimes in blowouts. You have to be aware of that.
Yeah, well, there's a zillion little right. things you got to know in all this stuff. I mean, even I'm just talking very surface level about what I try to do, but there's a million little nuanced details. Like I just said, Pitt loves to go over. You can't just know the formulas and do this all formulaically. You have to understand the teams as well. And if you watch a billion games, you will start to understand what teams do in certain situations as well.
So this is a great question. So not to have guest on guest violence, but Dr. Bob, who write like you and Matt Cox just referred to, and Dr. Bob, we know a lot of people who follow his stuff, whether they want to admit it or not. He almost wears it as a badge of honor that he doesn't watch anything. Now, I've talked to Bob about this for years, and I sort of said, Bob, you're watching more than you're letting on. But he does watch less than most of us who bet watch, whether it's basketball or football. What do you think about that? Do you think he has to lose something in the equation?
You have to. It's just like, what's that principle where you get 80 and 20 or something? Is that the Pareto principle? There's some kind of principle where you get 80% of everything, and then the last 20% is the hard stuff. You know, and I think it's a similar idea. You can do everything formulaically, and you're going to get the meat of the situation. But if you want the nuanced little stuff, little nuggets after that, you have to have a goulash formula that I like, which is understand the statistics and understand what you're watching. So if you understand both, because also if you start watching enough games and you watch the stats at the same time, you'll start to understand what the stats mean in what you're looking at. Yeah. Like, for instance, when we watched that St. John's Marquette game the other day, that was just maybe one of the most entertaining games you've ever seen.
Yeah.
And it's flying back and forth. Mm-hmm. And they had literally 45 or 44 first half possessions, which is as fast as I've seen all year. That's how fast it goes. You start to see things and you're just like, oh my God, there's no number possible to be under, you know?
The biggest thing with all of this, and again, this is for the newer bettors, your ability to overcome negative variance, whether it's pre-flop betting, but also an in-game betting because it's coming at you fast and furious, the extent to which you are able to overcome that, and still, if you have an edge and if you think you're doing the process right, which Todd is, there's going to be lulls. But your ability to power through that and keep on with what you're doing, to the extent you can do that, the better off you'll be, the more successful you will be in this racket. Thank you, Todd. Todd Wishnow, everybody. On a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Crack Man next.